period of time in my life, I'm just so curious about all the things and messages that women are given to like shapeshift and change and like, and it's like, dude, where is like any responsibility on the partner or the other person to be like in conversation with them, you know, where it's like the women are like, okay, I have a low libido. I've got to get higher libido. Mm-hmm. Got to like de-stress myself and I've got to do all these things. And it becomes another thing on the to-do list rather than like something that's liberating them.
Well, and sex becomes something on the to-do list. And who wants to do anything on that to-do list?
Totally. So the relationship, I think that's so important, is people being in relationships where they can feel like they're with a partner that's seeing them, understanding them, supporting them, and feeling more safe in their body and feeling really relaxed and grounded. So what would be a conversation that someone could have if they're feeling like, okay, there's three blocks in the way of my train that have been created, and I don't know if the man, if in this case it's heterosexual, knows.
Yeah.
How could we sort of have the conversation to support us in like the train getting into the station?
Yeah, well, this is what's really important. So in the book, I have checklists for you to understand like what people would call turn-ons and turn-offs. Mm-hmm. It's based on the sexual excitation and inhibition model that is basically like things that get you excited, that get you there, and things that will inhibit you, which are the very, very important things. So in taking that quiz, you can start to understand like, hey, I'm someone who has touchier breaks. And if you're someone with touchier breaks, those are the things that your partner has to work on. And so having a conversation with your partner, you know, letting them know, hey, I really want to be intimate with you. Like, I love sex with you. And this is how I'm wired. This is how I'm set up. Sometimes men will get defensive because they're like, listen, like I do all of this stuff every single day, you know, and like I work so hard. I hate that conversation because it's, I don't think they intend to, but they, what they're saying is that I do all this stuff. I'm entitled to your body. I do all this stuff. I'm entitled to sex. That is the wrong conversation. And it can be really difficult. If that is the way your partner is coming about it, you probably can't manage that on your own. Like having a therapist and someone who's trained in sex therapy, honestly, is what you want, because they know how to walk that line and how to help you in the sexual health department, but also help you in your overall relationship department. So having that conversation with your partner, if they start down that road, probably time to call in some outside help. But otherwise, letting them know first, like, hey, this is what I want. The end goal is I want more sex with you and I want to be very engaged in our sexual relationship. For me, these are the things that, you know, put up blockades for me. So for me, I need to feel like I'm being supported. I need a little less stress and not doing the like, you have to do this or you're not doing this, because that will put up the block and, you know, everybody starts to shut down when they feel attacked. But instead, you know, coming from the perspective of how you feel and how if these little things shift, that's going to help your body be able to receive those signals. Men, they, not all of them, but a lot of them operate differently. They have more of this spontaneous desire. They're walking around with sex on the mind all the time. You may just like, I mean, they could have everything in the world going on in their life, but you walk by and you know, you're wearing like your pajamas, but they like see a little nip slip and they're like, oh, like, oh, it is time to go. And you're like running the to-do list or the lunch is packed. Is like, what's carpool going to look like? You know, my commute, like, am I ready for this meeting? Like you're doing a lot more in your mind that they might make that advance. And they're like, I don't understand. For me, all I did was see you and I'm in the mood. Why is it not like that for you? And it's because that's just the way you operate. That's your mode of operation. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. And it is a situation where they have to ease up on the brakes and at the same time recognize that for a lot of women, you have to get things in motion before the brain is like, oh, sex, I really like this. Let's do this. Like, because it's very easy for you to be like, yeah, no, I really like take it or leave it when you've had so much on your plate.
Yeah. I think that's huge, and understanding that difference is just, it's the realist. And I remember I read Sex at Dawn last year, and in it, it talked a lot about women's libido and just how we've been told over time that women don't have as high of a sex drive. It was freaking crazy.
Yes.
Oh, how is that a lie? Because I feel like, honestly, it's such a, it's so deeply in me that it feels like a truth.
Yes, right? Okay, so we've been told that women are just not interested in sex. They're not that into sex. It's like impossible to make a woman orgasm. Like These are like myths to feed the male ego, and I really think keeps propping up the misinformation and the lack of information. Mm-hmm. Like, what's gatekept from men? You know, we're talking, I should clarify, like, we're talking very much in this like heteronormative sense, yeah. But that's because when we look at the orgasm gap, as an example, if you are in a heterosexual relationship, men are orgasming at 95%. That's their rate, and women are orgasming at 65%. So when we see these gaps and these issues, it usually is in heterosexual relationships. We know lesbians, in one study, it showed they were orgasming at 86%, so much higher rate within the relationship. But we also lack a lot of data, like a lot of data in sexual health, but also same-sex relationships, non-binary relationships. We just lack a lot of information on that. So just all to say that, like, we're being very binary and like the men versus mm-hmm. women, but that's where we have a lot of the issues that we see come up. It's not that they can't come up in other relationships. And at the same time, it's also where we have the research. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if in a lesbian relationship, it's like there's a greater depth and honesty and truth that is maybe lacking in heterosexual relationships.
That's a possibility. I also think like when you own a vulva, it's a lot easier to find a clitoris. Like, totally. You know, like, oh, and if you've ever masturbated, you know what feels good. If you don't own that, you need to ask for directions. But society has always told you as a penis owner that like you just deliver pleasure and you're a stallion in the bedroom and like you have to please women. And it's a lot of pressure on men that sometimes puts ego in the way. And then we've got women faking orgasms, so they never get the memo that like that's not it. Mm-hmm.
So is there any data around us having a greater sex drive or an equal sex drive? Like anything that was interesting in your research where you were like, wow, women, because maybe we're able to orgasm more than one time. Like, was there anything interesting that you found related to that?
Well, we are able to orgasm more than once. We have a shorter refractory period. So yes, we can have multiples. The clitoris is only for pleasure. That's it. But what I found really interesting was this paper talking about how we should really classify a phase of the cycle as the sexual phase of the cycle. And so when you look at what that is, we always teach it as the ovulatory phase. No coincidence there, Mama Nature. So smart. And so what that is that about 3 days leading up to the luteinizing hormone spike. So LH is what spikes and tells the ovaries to ovulate an egg. So about 3 days before that, and then the day of the LH spike, and then after the LH spike, you're going to ovulate in 24 to 48 hours. So it might be a day or two. So you might get 5-6 days, because once you ovulate, progesterone production begins, and that's a blocker in the bedroom. So progesterone, really good for sleep, really good for making you feel in love in life, loving your partner, really chill. So it is important, like in the libido conversation, but it can also be why it's a little bit harder to get in the mood or even have an orgasm. But I found that really interesting because that is what I've taught for years, is that, you know, during that phase of your cycle, estrogen and testosterone are rising, no progesterone around to block anything, and you get in the mood. And we see that a lot when you are tracking to get pregnant. It's one of the things you look for. Do you have a rise in your libido? Because that's mm-hmm. a sign you're going to ovulate. But to see researchers, instead of always just reducing us to that reproductive capacity, right? Mm-hmm. That like that's your whole purpose in life, to actually say like this is the sexual phase. And I was like, I actually love that, because mm-hmm. if you don't want to get pregnant, you can't get pregnant for any reason, rather than being like, you're going to be most in the mood during ovulatory phase, which I will be, so people read the book. To be fair, I do talk about the ovulatory phase as we go through the 28-day program, because we are tracking hormones for that purpose. But just to think like we can actually shift that language to be like, this is the sexual phase. And it is when women, they fantasize a lot more about sex. So we're seeing fantasies are up, ability to orgasm is up, multiples is up, experimentation is like up and more willing and more exciting. And so self-lubricating a lot more easier at that time of the cycle.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30. We hope you enjoyed waking up. As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend. We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose, and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.